What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Who You Got With
Mellow
and Rado. It's a sports podcast where we talk your favorite sports debates, sports highlights, and sports matchups. And I know you guys been watching the NBA because we sure have. Mellow, how you been, man? You been watching the first round of the NBA playoffs?
Man, that first round was some hella good basketball. First time, I guess, we got the 1-8 on the second round, which, I mean, it kind of is crazy to think about it. 8 beat a 1, 7 beat a 2, 6 beat a 3, and so on and so forth. We pretty much
had
got
a 4, yeah.
I would say did a 5 beat a 4.
Yeah, because you had the Knicks beat Cavs, so that was a 5
that's
and a
right,
4.
That's right, the Cavs were 4. So, yeah, so at this point, lower seed and every matchup pretty much end up beating a higher seed.
That's so much. I didn't even know that stat. That's crazy. Like, every seed is in the second round, and that's never happened before, you said?
Yep, never happened before. So, well, we got 1-8.
That's wild. I didn't even know that.
No, and honestly, you would think about it, it's probably hard as hell.
I mean, especially
because that's 4 upsets.
Yeah, and the 8 and the 1 matchup, 8 is only beaten the 1 3 times, or 6 times, I'm sorry, in the history of the NBA. So that's wild itself.
Yeah, so definitely great first round matchup. You've seen the Heat and Jimmy Butler step up, become Himothy, and give it to Giannis and the Bucks. Giannis was injured for a few games, so that did help the Heat, who also lost Tyler Hero. But they ended up pulling through and winning that one. We definitely great. Seen the Lakers take the Grizzlies to a very, very tough fought first round matchup. Dylan Brooks, your boy, went from I poke bears to I don't want to talk to media to Grizzlies talking about we not signing him under no circumstances. So
he about to be signed with the Shanghai Knights next year.
Nah, so I'll be honest. It's funny. It's so funny. My homeboy just said something on Facebook about that, and I was like, I feel you. He's an average role player at the end of the day. He's gonna find a team next year. He is gonna stay in the NBA.
He's gonna stay in the NBA. He's good
definitely
enough.
Will. But he will learn some lessons. Even if the Bears are 38 years old, if you definitely see LeBron in the forest fighting a grizzly bear, you better help the fucking bear. and obviously, he had a lot of help from the rest
of
the squad.
That's true.
AD was looking like a defensive monster. Hachimura, D'Lo, and Reeves all stepped up when they needed to. So great first round there.
But hasn't that happened with all the players that have tried to get on LeBron's nerves? Like, you could talk about Lance Stevenson. We could talk about, Beverly. Haven't they all gotten a little bit humbled? Even Draymond, like, in the finals, he got a little bit humbled by him when they came back 3-1 to beat him. LeBron did. And so it's always happened like that. LeBron always like seems to get under people's skin, but sometimes he comes out on top.
Nah, and this was nice because it was nice to see a team effort. At the end of the day, we don't want to see a 38-year-old LeBron drag a team because that's not going to go anywhere. So seeing the whole team step up, it's really good to see basketball like that.
That's for sure. I don't think in the West he can do that. I don't think that this year he can
that's what
drag
I'm saying.
A team
like,
in
you
the
can't.
West.
You just can't do that. Tough. So, yeah, definitely happy to see the Lakers squad playing good as a whole. Warriors versus King. Nail biter.
I think the best series we could say.
Both teams are fighting, and I'll be honest, is clearly if it wasn't for Steph Curry and that 50-piece in Game 7, we could be talking about a whole different matchup. What can you say? I'll be honest. That's the team that we might have to talk about where the rest of the team is, because Steph Curry is freaking carrying a book bag over there. And then obviously we had Clippers versus Suns. No help for Kawhi. Kawhi came out. Russell Westbrook tried to
came
do it on
hot.
His own.
Kawhi was averaging 36 points in the first two games of that series, and then he got injured, obviously, and he didn't play the rest of the series. But imagine if he played the rest of that series, because I mean, it was 1-1 after it was, they had a chance to win that third game too, so it was a close series with that one. But obviously, Phoenix Suns came out hot with especially Booker.
Oh, yeah, no, Booker and KD were looking in a good form. It was good to see Westbrook play his heart out, but he just couldn't get it done by himself with no other star power over there. Obviously, Nuggets, Timberwolves, that wasn't much to write about. Crazy how you got a former defensive player of the year and another prolific big man, even though he's not that great at defense, and Cat. And them boys couldn't stop nothing in the paint. They couldn't deal with Jokic. Nuggets team.
Jokic being deep, Jokic.
Look healthy, and they look dangerous. So that was good to see them come back into full form. Back in the East, obviously I said the Heat and the Bucks, but we definitely had a tough fought matchup, like we just said, between the Cavs and the Knicks. Cavs came out swinging first, but the Knicks came back, and even without Randle, it just seemed like Josh Hart and your boy Brunson is definitely looking to shine, and it's the postseason, and they did their thing.
Yeah, I was going to say Brunson's been balling out, but I got to give it up to R.J. Barrett in that series. Yes. against the Cavs. I mean, Donovan Mitchell was supposed to be the best player on that court, but it seemed like it was every player from the Knicks team. Like, every role player from the Knicks team was doing their thing. Josh Hart, R.J. Barrett stepping in for guys. Obviously, Julius Randle wasn't in there a few games. So, you know, they balled out on him. Once they went up 3-1, you just knew that series was over.
Oh, yeah, that's what I said. Cavs hit first. I remember someone, I was watching someone analyze that series, and they made a very good point where it was like the Cavs just got out physical the rest of that series, like all that size and big men, and they just couldn't do nothing with it.
And it's crazy. It was Obi Toppin and Mitchell Robinson against Evan Mobley and, you know, Jared Allen. Like, how did that happen?
And they got bodied. So that was a good series to watch. You know, your boy Faithful C's unfortunately let Trae Young go off for a couple games. We ended up closing that in six. But that was still a good series to watch. It was getting a little chippy. I just love good basketball. So even if it didn't go four, even if it went seven, I would have been mad because we shouldn't be going seven with them. But it's still good basketball to watch. Yeah,
I should have definitely sweep them. But I'll give it – I mean, even – obviously – my man Trey had a nice shot at the end of game five to you know push the games forward and actually stay in the series. But obviously, if he didn't have that shot, I think you guys would have taken care of that series earlier. But you know, gotta give it up to Trey. Ice Trey was balling out.
I mean, that's playoff basketball, man. I didn't expect really any sweeps in the first round. And even then, I did say Celtics in four. I kind of expected the Hawks would kind of come through one game and just, you know, just do something. But the one series that really didn't get swept was the 76ers versus the Nets. And that was probably the only series in the playoffs that wasn't competitive in the first round. The Nets tried. They just really didn't have the firepower. And Embiid obviously just announced as an MVP. Yep. And you got the assist leader in Harden. Just going off in this playoff run, trying to show that he's that guy. So
that's great. Sure. I mean, that's
hell of a first round.
Hell of a first round. Nets had a chance in that third game. It was very close, you know, to the end. Obviously the 76ers, took over at the end. And honestly, great first round. Like you said, I think some insane series that you didn't think were going to happen. Obviously, the Heat shouldn't have beat the Bucks. Obviously, it was a crazy series between Warriors and Kings. The Lakers, you know, being a seventh seed coming into a hot Memphis team, they beat them. Crazy, crazy first round. And now we got some amazing series going into the second round. Let's talk about some of these series because these are going to be incredible. We got, obviously, the Celtics going up against the 76ers, tough series. And then we got the Knicks versus the Heat in the East. And then in the West, we got Warriors versus the Lakers, which could be a very, very intriguing series. And then Denver versus Phoenix. So let's talk about those. What do you want to talk about first, man?
Man, you already know we starting. Big C's up, bleed green all day. Very, very rough start. For those watching live and those who will catch the rest of this video that's not live, sadly to say, the second round has already started. And crazy enough, we gave away a first game loss without Embiid in the lineup. Tough way to start this. Definitely, some people might have had their prediction going a different way. I never counted them out. I've said it. This is the first time in years, and I've said it all year. This is the first time I'm finally scared of Philly.
Yeah.
Every year before this, I don't care who they had. When they had Jimmy, when they had Ben, like, it just none of it bothered me. This year, they're deep. They got I don't think the leading scorer in the NBA, basically, and now MVP is on the same team as the man who got the most assists in the league.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think people understand how crazy that is.
That's pretty crazy.
Right there, it's pretty crazy. offensively prolific. Tyrese Maxey stepping into his own. And obviously, you always, always have Tobias Harris to fall back on as a third, fourth option when need be.
He's a beast, too.
Definitely. He's always been a anchor for that team. On the other end, I mean, you got the all-star duel in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, one of the best offensive and defensive teams in the league. We're continuously on top five on both categories every year. This year, really, really stepped up by three-point shooting and shooting the lights out, and definitely a team that plan on going deep and can go deep. The problem is we got both teams that plan on going deep and can go deep. I'll be honest, and it's not even to say because it's the Heat versus Knicks, but it's almost clear to say that this is about to be the Eastern Conference Finals, because at the end of the day, whoever wins this, I'm not even going to act like it's a guessing game. Whoever wins this is definitely going to the finals and beating whoever comes out that next series.
Good point. Real quick, I just want to say again for viewers that haven't listened to our previous episodes, I actually had this, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Celtics, as my Eastern Conference Finals in the beginning of the year as well. I thought this was going to be the greatest matchup ever, but now we're getting to see
in the second round. They fucked up in the first. Yeah, I promise you, when I seen the way it was matched up, I was like, I know we both going to come out of series. I'd be honest, I'd rather face the Heat or the Bucks and then save the 76ers for the Eastern Conference Finals, for sure. But, yes, going to be a hell of a series. Even, but you already know where I stand. Big C's all day. This is probably the one sport where I can be unbiased because my team is that good. I'm not considering or act like we're just going to smoke everybody. You know, like, I understand what we bring to the table, and I understand what other teams bring to the table. I already had this going seven games.
Mm-hmm.
I already had Philly stealing one at home. Stealing one without Embiid is crazy.
That was nuts.
Crazy.
That was nuts.
But 45 from Harden with a three in Horford's face to really seal the deal. Man, he had my stomach in my guts last night, man. I was feeling sick, man. I was feeling sick. But it's good to see basketball-wise. Like, it's good to see Harden come out and do that.
It was a good end of the game, though. I gotta get to
a couple bad mistakes on our part, on the Celtics' part. But right now we got two great shooting teams, two great defensive teams, both well coached, both know each other so well. Like, at this point, this is about the fourth or fifth postseason meeting. Pretty much, I think it's at least a third or fourth between Jason and Embiid themselves. But we know each other well. We play each other well. And I definitely think this is going to be a great defensive, high IQ, very, very well-fought, close series. But I'll be honest, yeah, I'm not even going to bore y'all telling y'all who I think is going to win. Let's hear what you got to say.
No, I feel you. But and you know what? That's interesting that, you know, they played this many series. You know, just like you said, five, that's crazy, because obviously the last 3 years, at least, we've seen them play against each other, probably even 4 years. They've played against each other. That's
what I'm saying. I don't even know what it is off the top of my head, but just being a Celtic fan, just off of
pure I know memory, at least the last three.
Like, at least four for me.
Yeah, I'm playing against each other, and, you know, it's been back and forth. You know, 1 year, Philly won against you guys, and obviously you guys had the revenge, you know, last year. Nah. It was 3 years ago, remember, Philly.
We were scraping them consecutively up until the year before the finals.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. Yeah. That's the one where you guys lost, and they made it to the, you know, they made it far. They had a decent team. I think that's when they had Al Horford. They had Al Horford before, when you guys let him go for a little bit for that 1 year, and then he came back to you guys. And that's a huge piece in this series. I think Al Horford is going to need to ball out for you guys. I'm surprised that you guys lost with Embiid. I'm not going to lie. That was very surprising to me. It was a close game, but having Maxey and Harden both out there.
I was right. I was about to say, we have not lost with them yet.
What, in the playoffs?
Yes, and that's why I tell you, no matter who they bring to the table, I've never been scared of them. This is the first year that, like, they actually have a team that can beat us. Yeah.
Gotcha. I mean, they're scary, though. You're right. Having the MVP candidate, I mean, the MVP player this year, plus, you know, the most assists, you know, in per average, obviously, in Harden, that's huge right there. Having a third guy in Maxey is huge. I mean, I think that has happened before because, you know, I think Jokic has been the MVP when he was the top assist getter in the NBA as well, actually. He had like 10.3 assists, I think, in 1 year, if I remember correctly. And he was number one in assists the first year he got his MVP. But, you know, as far as Harden, you know, he played a crucial role in this first game, and he's going to have to play a crucial role in the series. I think that if Embiid doesn't play second game, that is going to be huge for you guys, because you guys are going to need to definitely try to out-rebound them. What I was seeing yesterday and for game one, I was seeing Naz Reid out-rebounding everybody on the Celtics. Mm-hmm. And I was so surprised. You guys had Grant Williams out there. You guys had Al Horford out there. Even Jason Tatum was trying to, you know, box him out to get rebounds. And it was just interesting. Naz Reid, especially in that fourth quarter, he was definitely out rebounding you guys, and he even came out and got some, obviously, fouls, like where he could shoot some free throws. He made his name known in that free throw line though yesterday, and that's a big reason why they kept in that game. One thing I will say though is you guys didn't shoot a free throw until the fourth quarter, which was crazy to me. That was an insane stat that I saw. In the first game, the Celtics didn't shoot any free throws until that fourth quarter, and to that point, Philly had only shot five. At the end of it, they shot a little bit more. But I'll be honest, I don't think the second game is going to be anything like that. I think it's going to be way more physical, a lot more inside, especially if Embiid's not there. You guys are going to try to take up that inside. I see Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown going in inside. I do think that you guys are going to steal a game in Philly as long as Embiid's not there. One stat I did hear that was interesting, though, is that Philly hasn't won a playoff game in Boston since 1988. Can you believe that? And that was the first time they did it, a playoff game in Boston. And I was like, what? That is an insane stat. And when they said that, I was thinking to myself, well, let's look at the rest of the series. You know, you got game two in Boston. Obviously, game three or four are going to be in Philly, but three out of the next four games are going to be in Boston. So, I mean, that's pretty crazy. I'm not saying that, you know, it's not going to be a close series, because I think it is. I think once Embiid gets in there, you guys are going to have a problem in that inside. Mm-hmm. I think that the Celtics are definitely going to have issues, you know, being able to hold down Embiid down low. I think a lot of guys are going to get fouls. I think you guys are going to get guys fouling out, and Embiid is just going to be doing what he does, stay down there boxing people out, or, you know, backing them down and passing the ball to the outside and trying to make people hit threes. Like you said, both of these teams are shooting teams, and you saw that even in the first game. I think that's going to continue, and throughout the series, you're going to see a lot more of this. And once Embiid comes back, it's going to be more back in, like, obviously Philly backing you guys down and you guys trying to go inside with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. That's what I think it's going to be, because I think the shooting, you know, you have both of these teams know they have it. You guys both have, you know, players that can shoot a lot of threes, even role players that can shoot threes. So what's really going to be interesting in this series is going inside. I got this as a 7-game series. I think this is going to be close as hell. I really do. I think this series is going to be the closest series we're going to have in the second round. Maybe we'll talk later about, you know, maybe Lakers and Warriors. But I just want to say, like, I think that this series is going to be the most interesting. I had this in the beginning of the season as one of my, you know, Eastern Conference Finals, and I thought it was going to be because both of these teams have role players that can play multiple positions, and they can defend multiple positions as well. I mean, we already talked about Tobias Harris and obviously Al Horford. He can defend whoever he wants, but you got Marcus Smart on your side, which is going to be a huge mm-hmm. help for Harden to guard against Maxey. I mean, even if he wants to, like, guard guys like Furkaz, if he comes on, you know, tries to shoot threes, or, you know, guys like that, I think that Smart is going to be huge in the series. So I got to the 7-game series. I want to know, you got to the 7-game too?
100%. I definitely do think they're going to have to pick up on some things defensively. Obviously, Celtics are great at doing that. So I think they will do that. Definitely got a lot of shooters over there that we have to focus on. But yet we are one of the best defensive teams. The only thing I would say I do hate is, since we do have such good perimeter defenders, because we even got Derek White is a great perimeter defender as well. I just really wish that we would fight over certain screens, but in today's positionless basketball, everything gets switched. Like watching Harden hit that 3-0 over Horford was disgusting. You know, it's like, bro, come on.
Yeah,
like,
but that's a. But I'll be honest, like that's a step back three that you know Harden's gonna take. How do you not know Harden's gonna step back and do a three? Like that's.
I mean, because he dropped 42 points. By
I get it. Not, that's like he created that move for the NBA, and now everyone's using it. And
not
like,
to mention, they didn't even need a three.
Nah, you're right.
They just needed they a didn't, two.
But that's
so
Harden's move.
There's though. So many. That's what I'm saying. There's so many different variables, and Harden's quick. You know, what I'm saying that shot goes up so quick. It wasn't like it was horrible defense, but he's just so quick to pull the trigger. But they definitely played a great game. I definitely do think it's gonna go seven.
Yeah.
I did. I would tell you. I did double check. It's only been two. So it feels like more. But I guess 2018 we held Ben Simmons to one point. That was the first time we faced this 76ers team. Mm. And then 2020 was the second time we faced them, and we 4-0'd them.
And this really? Would be the so it third wasn't the, time. It wasn't the last 3 years.
Yeah. Mm. No. This is actually the third time. It feels like more. But we honestly between us. We faced the Sixers, we faced the Bucks, and we faced the Heat constantly.
The last 3 years of season. So, yeah, you know what? Yeah. It was the Heat, actually. It was the Heat that you guys faced in the last 3 years. That's what it was. And they beat you guys once.
Yeah, they beat us in the bubble. Yeah. So it wasn't the Sixers, but this is definitely going to be a different series. Both those series weren't competitive. Obviously, this will be. They already won a game without Embiid. Let you know it's a whole different team. But no, needless to say, I got Celtics in seven. No surprise there. Biased and unbiased, I do think they are the better team. I do think they can pick it up to better. And in this well-fought series that goes to game seven at home, I'm always going to choose the Celtics.
Nice. And I'll be honest, like, that's not a bad choice at all. And When I heard Embiid was going to be out game one and game two before I heard that, I think I had this as a six game series. I wouldn't have had this in seven, you know, I really thought it was going to be, but now seeing that game yesterday and seeing them win, I got this as a seven game. I do think it's going to be close. Every game is going to be competitive. Maybe one or two are going to be a little bit, you know, probably like towards the fourth quarter, you guys are going to like win by 15 or the Philly's going to win by 15 at home maybe. But after the first four games, I expect both of these teams to be 2-2. I expect the Celtics to keep winning at home after that. That means that I got it as a seven game series with the Celtics winning in game seven. You know, when I heard that stat, the Celtics have not lost in their building against Philadelphia in the playoffs since 1988. I was like, what? That's the first time they lost there? And I was like, how
crazy. And it's actually before that, because I got all the playoffs history. Before 22, we played in 1985.
Was it 85? I thought they said 88.
The only game we lost was at 76ers. So it was 82.
Oh, 82. 82 is the last. 82
was the last time.
That's where I thought it was 88 when they were saying it, but it was 82, and that's even crazier. That's right there.
And we lost. That was our seven game series, and we lost. It was a seven game series, and we lost two games at home in 82.
And that it's been that long since Philadelphia has gone to Boston and won a game in the playoffs. So that tells you how good the Celtics are at home in the playoffs, and that tells you how good they're gonna be. I expect them to keep balling out. I think Jason Tatum is just gonna start balling out, and I do expect Jaylen Brown to take off that mask, bro. Demask. Let's see the real Jason, you know, or Jaylen Brown. I want to see the real Jaylen Brown ball out, but I do think Jason Tatum is gonna ball out this series. I expect him to, you know, win game five and then game seven, turn up and possibly even go for 40 points and win that game seven. I think the Celtics are made for a team like this because it is going to be back and forth. And as you saw, even game one was close and a lot of three-pointers need to be made to keep up with Philadelphia. You guys can do that. The Celtics can. And you guys can defend the three ball when you need to. So that's what it's going to depend on. And I love the way that the Celtics have been pushing the ball around even in the first series. Yeah, they had, you know, a few tough spots in the fourth quarter of game one against Philadelphia, but I don't expect that to happen in the rest of the series.
100%, 100%, and even with the game one loss, we both expect this to still be competitive. But I'll be honest, there's another series in the West that if for love of God one team don't pick it up, it might not get competitive at all. And it's honestly probably one of the what we thought was like a four, just. Both teams are just camp championship contenders.
I'll say it. No, I had the Phoenix Suns as possibly being a championship contender. Yes, once they got KD, yeah. I had them as a championship contender.
And watching them, the Phoenix Suns down 0-2 already to the Denver Nuggets. Man, what can you say, man? What do you think about this, man?
So I'll be honest, like that's Jokic being Jokic in the game too, but. Jamal Murray has been stepping it up for the Denver Nuggets. One thing that we have both been saying about the Denver Nuggets in the last few years when they've been in the playoffs is, where's Jamal Murray been at? Where's he been at? Obviously, he had some injuries, you know, a few years ago when Jokic's first MVP. Even last year, you know, he was missing, I believe he was missing just a few games, though. And then he came in, like, right towards the beginning of the playoffs. But either way, like, they keep coming out as close to a number one seed or, you know, number two seed pretty much, the Denver Nuggets, the last 3 years. And now, I think this year, they're finally showing that they're a true number one seed. I'll be honest, man. Like, Jokic is doing his thing. He's playing at an MVP level. You got Jamal Murray out there actually giving you close to 25 points. Obviously, not every game, but he's giving you that. Then you got guys, obviously, Aaron Gordon, almost getting you that 20. He's getting you 19 points. And Michael Porter Jr. is doing his thing. He's finally stepping into his own. I think that he's learned the role he's playing right now. Yeah, he wants to get the ball more and shoot more, but Jokic is not going to let him do that when he's on the field. You know, Jokic needs to get those balls down low so that he can pass it out to the outside and get some assists too and have his guys shoot. But one of the guys that's been really stepping it up is Brown. Bruce Brown has been balling out.
Mm-hmm.
I think even in the first round, I just seen a lot from him. Once Bones Highland got traded to the Clippers, Bruce Brown got a lot more run, you know, with the second unit, and he was actually even getting in with the first unit a few games. But now he's actually really shooting the ball very well, shooting over 45%, shooting 38 from the 3-point line just in the playoffs, which is amazing, and you know. What Denver has is incredible. Now, on the Phoenix side of the ball, the way that they played the first round, I was applauding Devin Booker, but not as much Kevin Durant. I'll be honest, Kevin Durant kind of looked like he was in the shadows in that first round against the Clippers. Now he's got to kind of shine if he wants his team to come out on top. This series is going to be very hard for the Phoenix Suns to come back from. What I see this as is I see one team that has stars, and then the other team has amazing role players. Like, you literally have one of the best benches with the Denver Nuggets. And then the Phoenix Suns, they have the worst bench in the NBA. Do you know that there's 58 players that are averaging more points than what the Phoenix Suns are averaging from their bench? They're only averaging, like, 12 points from their bench, which is insane, just this season. And there's 58 players in the NBA by themselves that are averaging more points than that whole bunch. That's just insane right there to me. And that just shows you that the Denver Nuggets were built as an all-around team, and Phoenix Suns were built as a scoring team with stars. I want to hear what your analysis is on this, but I will say that I think it's going to be very tough for Phoenix to come back from this.
No, it's definitely a good thing to think about. I mean, we've seen the Phoenix Suns, we've seen the Dallas Mavericks, certain teams go towards a real big push to get high quality superstars, gut their defense, get rid of their best defenders, Dorian Finney-Smith, mm-hmm. Jesus, and Mikal Bridges, trade them off and now pretty much get left with nothing. Is that really the way to go? I mean, it begs the question. You got teams like the Nuggets, like you said, a bunch of role players, one true superstar, and they kind of allow their team to kind of grow into themselves to get themselves past the hump. With that being said, though, I will say the Nuggets, in my opinion, have the most pressure this year. to win a championship.
That's a good point. Good point.
I don't even think a lot of people would say the Warriors or the Lakers, but no, with the team the Nuggets had, back-to-back MVP, being right there in the cusp the whole time, finally having Murray back from injury playing like Murray, finally having Aaron Gordon play like Aaron Gordon, no more excuses for Michael Porter Jr. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. Once again, the number one seed, the Nuggets, in my opinion, have the most pressure to win the championship because of the fact that they have nothing but the pieces already there. We've all said, oh, they need that one more step, one more step. They obviously they never had to go get a superstar. They're already damn near the best team in the West for the last couple of years, but we're just on the brink. Now they put themselves past that brink, but can they close it out? Can they do it without that basically true superstar help? So we'll definitely see what they're going to be able to deal with. But at the end of the day, the Suns are the only team left in the West that isn't deep and doesn't really have a bench. You could make an argument for the Warriors. They don't have the best team to begin with, but the Lakers have shown that they can be deep. And at this point,
they got deep after the trade deadline.
After the trade deadline, exactly. So at this point, we're going to see how the Nuggets can survive through this playoff run against different types of teams. Like the Timberwolves was kind of just like a, like they were just getting their role going. Like, I don't understand how they had all those big men and still couldn't do nothing, but the Nuggets played with their food. Like, they were no competition. And at this point, the Suns don't look like no competition, and it's definitely because of that defense. I mean, it's not because of the offense. You know, the two-star players, obviously KD and Booker, are definitely doing what they're supposed to do in both games. They both score 50-plus, 60-plus. Like, they definitely are getting their points, but they can't stop anything on the other side of the ball. So we definitely like, I agree. I definitely do think it's going to be hard for Phoenix to really come back. But, hey, two games at home, let's see what they can do.
That's true. We got to see what they can do. And I do expect at least KD to come out hot in that third and fourth game, you know.
No, honestly, it's not, to me, it's not even the scoring. Chris Paul was ineffective. He was honestly looking bad the first couple games, so him being out might honestly share the ball a little more, just make the offense flow a little better. But they got to find a way to put people in front of the basket. Like, where's Ayton? That's the real question. Where's Ayton, Ben?
Thank you. I was going to get to that in a little bit, because I was going to say how much Jokic has been balling out on Ayton, man. He's been eating them up. He's been literally eating them up. Nah, for real. Jokic has been balling out on Ayton all series.
No, and he's definitely going to have to step it up. Like, Ayton honestly didn't really impress the first series either. Honestly, Zubac didn't look that bad.
You're right. Zubac, he was eating them up too, especially on the offensive rebounds. You're right about that.
And it's crazy. I remember when we talked about potential matchups, or not even that. This was the episode we did about the trades. We talked about, like, just where these teams going to go if we see them going to the playoffs. I always said, like, obviously this team is healthy. Like, they did good because I think they're going to do good because historically, Ayton doesn't play that bad against Jokic. He kind of does learn. He has learned to bang a little bit in the playoffs when it comes with the bigs. And now he finally gets Jokic, and he's not doing anything. So, yeah, I mean, it sucks because I'll be honest. I imagine if this was a few days ago, we would have had a lot more to say about the Phoenix Suns and what we projected or predicted they would have done. But unfortunately, two games down, the only thing we can say is step it up on the defensive side of the ball. Like, that's all that can be said. At the end of the day, they don't have no bench. But they were kind of in most of these games without a bench. Yeah, they would have got a couple more stops. That's what, you know.
I mean, look, they won like 10-0 when KD was on the floor and the Phoenix Suns. They won 10-0 the first 10 games with him. So that's crazy.
And that's the thing, when you got someone like Kevin Durant and Devin Booker at a team, it's definitely definitely easy to imagine you can win a few games or at least do it without the defense. But I definitely do think that they need to do more of pulling Jokic in, including him on defense, getting him tired out. It sounds crazy, but that's probably the only real good thing you can think of at this point with a caliber of a player like that. And let's try to tire him out, include him in the defense, maybe get him in foul trouble. He's honestly not the best defensive player either. The only issue is the Suns excel off the mid-range to do what they need to do. They have to not stop at the mid-range, but force their way through the paint.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point.
Getting him in those foul troubles, getting him involved in action. Because as long as he's hedging and they're coming right off the screen shooting middies, all he has to do is just stay in front of them and jump up a little bit.
That's a good point. And I'll be honest, even like Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon are tall, so they're always staying like around that, you know, elbow area of the free throw line. So they're going to stop you if you try to hit those mid-range shots. And Devin Booker loves mid-range shots. So does CP3. Now we'll see without him what happens if they're going to start maybe going around the outside a little bit more. But, you know, CP3 and Devin Booker both love the mid-range. And so does KD Kevin sometimes. Durant.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I was gonna say so no, does that, KD sometimes. Like, yeah.
Even before they got KD, it was a team in the league by far that shot the most middies. At True. KD, it's not even close.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, if that's their game, that's their game. That's fine. But you might have to switch it up a little bit. Like, that's what I don't know what it comes to when these type of defensive, or not even just these IQ battles. Like, at this point, do you lean in to what you do so well, or not? I wouldn't say stray away from it, but do you try to add variations in to deter the other team's strength?
And my thing is yes, because I think the way that you should play Jokic should. Now, the NBA doesn't do this, but I think you play zone on a guy like Jokic. You put two guys right in the lane on Jokic because you know he's going to command all that size. Now, the problem with Minnesota, why that didn't work, is Cat doesn't like playing down low, man. He likes staying on the outside, so he's scared to play down low with guys. He does not like playing defense against the big men in the West. I don't know why. I don't know what's up with that. That's literally why they brought in Rudy Gobert to do that. He couldn't do it. But what I think that if Phoenix wants to do good, they need to do. They need to bring in like a guy like Alex Len, maybe with with Ayton. Even if not that, maybe just, you know, have a guy like you know, Ayton in there with KD playing a type of zone. I know they don't do that always, but I could see that happening one or two of these games.
I think that's the opposite of what they should do. Zones their teams to shoot. Not only is Denver a shooting team, you have the best person you can have in the world who knows where to pass the ball with their back to the basket with someone's open. If someone's open, well, if two people are on them, someone's open. And that's not the center you want to allow because Gordon cutting, Jamal Murray getting open. No matter where Michael Porter Jr. catches the ball, he's shooting it. It don't even matter if he's open or not.
Yeah,
like
I agree.
That's not the team that you give any space. I think you got to force Jokic on the defensive side of the ball and on offense to stop Jokic. At the end of the day, you really got to put a body on him and get him out the paint. He's slow.
He shouldn't be able to get by everyone.
Go ahead.
About, like, you know, him being down there and passing it off. You're right. Denver is the best team at having a guy like Jokic finding the open three man and them shooting the three. That's for sure. I just think that they need to try to double him more because, especially in the first two games, he's been killing them down low. And they need to find a way, even with points. I mean, yeah, Murray took over the first game, but he was still balling out with offensive rebounds and just keeping the time keep going. And the way that they won those first two games wasn't three-pointers, Denver. They won with defense, like you said. Like you pointed that out, that was perfect. Like, I think that if Phoenix wants to win, they need to try to make them shoot more three-pointers. Like, if they make it, they make it. But if they don't, then you're doubling at least the best player. You got to double Jokic, I think. What do you think?
So I would say as soon as he get it, send someone, swipe at it a little bit. But this it's not a – that's why he gets the assists he gets, because he can go off for the points to go off, and then when you sit there and double him, he's always going to find the open person. That's, like, actually falling into their strengths. I would think more of a – and it's so crazy because, like, everything I'm thinking of, they already do. You know, like, it's not like we could think of anything that the coaches in the NBA haven't
That's why
of.
I'm saying this is going to be so hard to win this series. How tough, like, in other years, Denver does not seem this tough. But they got everyone back. They got Michael Porter Jr. making shots. Aaron Gordon is playing great defense. And obviously, Jokic is playing still at an MVP level, even though Embiid's going to get it. And finally, Murray is into a league of his own. And he's not a superstar. You're right. There's no second superstar on that team. You only have that one superstar in Jokic, even though he walks around so slow and he moves like he's like a gorilla. Like, oh, like his arms are so low to the ground. Like, my man literally walks like a gorilla sometimes. But I'm not going to try to make fun of my man because he'd be balled out. But finally, Jamal Murray's being, you know, a secondary option, which is what Denver needs. And once he starts making shots, they are so tough to beat, man. They're so tough to beat.
100%. And honestly, because I was thinking of keeping Jokic out the paint, him standing out the three-point line with the way everyone else is playing. Not only is he going to make threes, but he's also great at assisting facing the basket as well. Like, watch him just standing there and everyone else doing backdoor cuts, setting screens for each other, he'll still get 10 assists. So at this point, I don't know what Phoenix can do. I do know they need to, for the love of God, I mean, it's a tough task. I don't know if they can, but they need to win two at home. If they want any chance of competing in the series.
Yep.
But if they go back to Denver 3-1, maybe they can squeeze out a game in Denver, but they don't squeeze out two in a row, in my opinion. So I definitely got the most six, and that's just me giving them six because it's KD. I don't see KD going out like that. But at the end of the day, Nuggets are looking good. Phoenix in the trouble. And I got this as Nuggets in six.
Hey, Nuggets in six. Beating one of the best players in the league, KD, coming on to one of the best teams in the league that's been balling out the last few years. But you know what? I'm just going to say it right now. That's exactly where I got it, bro. I got this as a six-game series. I'll be honest, after they won game two, I was definitely more surprised because what I saw was I saw Phoenix being up by eight with 5 minutes left in the third quarter in game two with a chance to win that game. And then they came out so short in that fourth quarter. They shot so terribly. And seeing them have a bad quarter like this with guys like CP3, with guys like Booker and guys like KD on the squad, that makes me think that they just don't have no cohesion there. What I really saw at the end of the third quarter, the bench players on obviously Denver taking care of business, man. My man Brown has been balling out. I got to give him so much credit. I think he's going to keep doing his thing in this series. I do think that once Phoenix uses Cameron Payne more as a point guard, I do expect them to actually play a little bit more with KD shooting the ball more. And KD's and Booker, they're going to be holding the ball a lot more than when CP3 is on the court. I do expect that, but I just think that this, just like you, once they get to Phoenix, if they don't win two, then it's going to be over quick. I think that Denver is going to have a few close games in Phoenix, and one of those games Denver is going to take care of, and they're going to win in the fourth quarter again. And then once you get back to Denver, they're going to take it in six. So I got Denver as well, finally being Denver, the number one seed that they should have been the last few years, with an MVP caliber player making it to the Western Conference Finals.
100%. And at this point, while we don't see much competitiveness in this series already, we expect them to be facing what we think is probably going to be our version of the last time or the last NBA Finals, because it's the last time we get to see LeBron versus Curry.
But before that, I want you guys to click that like button below and make sure you guys subscribe, because if you guys want us to keep talking about the rest of this series, you guys have to turn on those post notifications on and make sure you guys get every single video from us every time we post it on, whenever we're doing it live or whenever we just post clips of our vids. You guys got to make sure you're getting them every time. Also, make sure you guys follow us over there on Patreon, because we got some cool stuff for you over there. We got some merch if you guys want to sign up for the 3, 6, and 9 month memberships. Plus, we give out some really cool, first we give out questions that we could put on the podcast. Also, we ask you guys to give us topics. Then, you know, if you guys just want to be a part of our podcast that we don't put up on YouTube, you guys can go check those out there for sure. But if you want to check everything out at once, we got everything in one place. So why don't you tell them about that, Mello?
Of course, www.whoyougotpodcast.com. You get access to all of our blogs that we write for each episode, all of our podcasts themselves, as well as links to over 15 different platforms that you can listen to. You get access to links to all of our YouTube videos, or we just say go to YouTube itself. If you want to get the action right away, turn on the notifications and make sure you subscribe. And obviously access to our merch to make sure that you can rock the Who You Got gear just in time for the summer. Pretty much a one-stop shop for everything you need Who You Got related, and we want to make sure we keep it guys coming.
That's for sure. So definitely make sure you guys check all that, and everything's going to be below in the description. And if you guys are listening over there on Spotify, Apple, or you know, Google Podcasts, then you guys could just look below and click on the links below to check us out. But anyways, let's go on to that other series that you were talking about.
Oh, yes. Lakers versus Warriors, man. It's definitely one for the nostalgia for us. It's so funny because I keep seeing memes about how a couple years ago, it's like, oh, man, not another LeBron versus Curry finals. And so many of us are honestly just so goddamn excited we get to see it one more time. I was going
to
say, that's
exciting to me.
Yeah. But I definitely understand what we were feeling at that age. But sometimes, like for me, we didn't really appreciate greatness. Like, for me, I wasn't a big fan of LeBron as a Celtics fan up until 2018. And just honestly, watching him drag those teams to the finals, and watching the Warrior Avengers just be the greatest thing basketball has ever seen was honestly just pure basketball in its highest form.
They beat up Thor.
Oh yeah, nah, they definitely were out here doing marvelous things with the team that, in my opinion, still one of the best teams ever created. But definitely great. Great series from both teams, 7-game series in the first round. Both were the underdog in the series. We got 7-6 beating 2-3. And honestly, both teams look good. One team was about a story of, like I said, Steph Curry carrying a backpack. Klay went missing for a few games. Draymond literally went missing for a game because he decided to step on people's chest. And obviously,
game and a half, pretty much. Yeah.
I said Claypool. Jordan Poole also went missing for a little bit, but the only person that didn't want to go missing, two people that didn't go missing was definitely Steph Curry and your boy Looney on those offensive boards. Him and those rebounds was definitely, honestly, a sight, because that's something that probably wasn't expected. And then the other
end. Not at all. Not 20 rebound games.
Yeah, that's crazy. Another end, man, you had LeBron doing LeBron things. As I said, coming up to the playoffs, the last couple years in the playoffs with the Lakers especially, he's learned to try to take a step back, average less points, get more assists. We're no longer seeing like 37-6. We're seeing like 25-9, you know, so he's definitely trying to get his other teammates involved. And honestly, this time he's not even going to get the assist because he got people that can create for themselves. And they show that they can. AD had two monstrous games and was the best defensive player in the first round, hands down, not even close. They were hosting a goddamn block party over there. Like I said,
one of the best defensive players, like I've said, man. AD.
Oh yeah. As long as he stays healthy, he's honestly a unicorn, one of a kind. Rui, Hachimura and Reeves both taking turns, really coming through, stepping up, making sure they show out when they need to, good passes when they need to, good defensive plays when they need to. And then obviously, after a couple games coming out flat, D'Lo made sure he ended the series on the right note, that he never wanted to know why he's that third guy basically on that team. So definitely love to see this. This one, I'll be honest, this was a real hard one for me to choose. Honestly, I'll be honest. Let me see who did I choose. Okay. I don't like to choose before the episode. So this is when I was just like, I'll just wait to see how I feel.
That's true. That's
how it's a heart versus mind. But the crazy is the heart and mind is playing strings with both of them. I do want Steph Curry, like last year, Steph Curry against the Celtics. If we had to lose, which obviously I was upset we lost, if we had to lose, the Warriors were the one team I was happy we lost to see the Steph Curry come back, you know, them not make the playoffs, Klay come back from injury, and see the journey they had last year. Like, that was amazing. To see them do it again, when, I'll be honest, they didn't look nowhere near as good this year, will be another testament to Steph Curry. And the same thing for LeBron. A lot of people love to hate LeBron. A lot of people don't want him to get more rings. But at the end of the day, to me, his legacy is already cemented.
For sure.
You know, we can have talks about, you know, who is, you know, the GOAT, all that. But to me, like, once he became the leading scorer in NBA, I'm not going to say that made him the GOAT, but that made it so he's no longer chasing nobody. Like, I don't think he has to win another ring to cement his legacy for nobody.
No.
Like, anything else after is just icing on the cake at this point. So I do think that him just going through this playoff series at the age of 38, winning a ring or getting a chance to win a ring is, like, people don't understand, especially leading a team at the age of 38 to win a ring. I don't think people understand how amazing that is. So I definitely...
It hasn't been since Kareem, emotions. Really. Like you had a guy like this, but then Kareem had Magic Johnson, so.
And not even that, Kareem was nowhere, like, there hasn't been...
No, he wasn't as good,
efficient or effective at this point of their career.
He was on the downturn of his career, whereas LeBron seems like he's pretty steady. Like, yeah, he's taken a little bit of a dip, but it's like, he's steady after that dip. Like, he's not going all the way down.
And that dip is still top five in the league, which is crazy.
I'd say top 10.
Old age wise, but if you honestly just skill set wise, he's still top five in the league.
Oh yeah, skill set. All right. I was going by like just stats this year, you know, stats.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, he is getting old, so he's not going to put those stats up. But I'll still take LeBron over
everyone. Probably about four people. You give me like top 10 player. Other than like two other players like Curry and KD, I would probably still take LeBron. I'll be honest. Like other than KD and Curry. Start me a team with LeBron.
Yeah, no, so, and that's crazy. So I definitely have a lot of emotions. And, I mean, what can you say? Warriors got to step it up on defense if they want to be competitive in the series. But the Lakers got to find a way to be more efficient on offense if they got to, you know, if they want to find a way to stay competitive. Switch it up and say the same exact thing. Golden State's got to find a way to show up besides Steph Curry. And same thing. Lakers went to a seven-game series. Only AD was the only leading scorer more than one game. Every other game, someone else had to be that guy. And it's nice, but at the end of the day, that isn't always what you want. Because then you could end up with a game where no one can be that guy.
Yep. Everyone's off.
Everyone's off.
To be honest.
Exactly. So at this point, we're honestly like, it's so crazy because they're so different teams. One team is built on shooting. One team is built on inside fighting. Not fighting, but, you know, fighting on the inside, trying to bully your way through. But they're really the same team.
I mean, average when you look teams, at the stars.
Like, both average in stats, except for... the only thing I would put, Golden State is a way better scoring team than the Warriors. But at this point, from what they've shown us in the first round and towards the end of the season, that consistency is just like, it's not there right now. So like, they struggled against an average defensive team in the Kings. The Lakers are a little better, so I definitely do expect this to be a little bit more competitive. But I got this going 7 games. What about you?
Ooh, we got it going 7.
Yes.
Man, I don't know if I got it going 7. I was thinking 6 or 7, I'll be honest. And I still have not made my choice for who I'm going to pick. Can you guys believe that? And I'm serious, because I was going back and forth, man. Like, I almost have my choice. I'm like 98% sure on who I want to pick. But then again, it's like that other 2% is like, like literally the stars can change this whole game. The star could take over in any one of these games. You could have LeBron go off for 40. You can have Curry go off for 40. And it can literally change a game any second. Now, what I will say is, though, obviously you got Golden State that has the home team or home field advantage, home court advantage. So they are going to start out at home. That's going to help them a little bit. Plus, the way that the second round is set up, it's one day on, one day off, one day on, one day off. So there's not going to be that much off time for LeBron. You know, he is age 38 right now. We know that. And we know that he is not himself late, you know, not 100%. You know, coming towards the end of the season, he was like still not 90%, he said. So he wasn't coming in 100%. Same thing with AD. You know, he was on and off this whole year, finally came back. He was healthy at the end of the year. But I don't think both of these guys are 100% when you got guys like Klay coming into his own now, when you got guys like Wiggins coming into his own now, when you got guys like Looney coming into zone out. But I don't expect Looney to ball out like he did in that first round. I think that AD is going to be getting those offensive rebounds in this matchup. I do expect I expect Looney, Kevin Looney, to struggle down low, to be honest. Struggle to get those offensive rebounds and struggle to even get points. I do see him struggling in this matchup just because how good AD is down low. He's going to block shots. And one thing about Curry too, he loves to go inside, throw those floaters up. One thing about AD, he loves blocking floaters. And if you notice in that the first couple games when they played Memphis, Ja Morant loves doing those floaters too. And what was happening, AD was coming in and blocking them out of there. So one thing we're gonna have to watch is definitely blocks on Curry. I will say though, if LeBron comes out hot and starts making threes, then they're going to be very successful, because I'll be honest, like the last round, they were terrible, bro. I'm just going to read off LeBron's three-point stats in the last 5 games. He was 1 for 8. He was 0 for 4, 1 for 7, 1 for 9, and 2 for 5. So he's literally averaged 10% in the last round. That's how bad he was in his three-pointers, which is crazy. He only made 5 three-pointers and shot close to like 40. That is just terrible. So one thing, I think that LeBron can play better. He's not known, obviously, in his career for being a great three-point shooter, but he's got to shoot at least more than 30%. Like, you got to give him more than 30. If you want to keep up in this league and keep up with a team like the Warriors that is going to shoot threes, you got Poole, you got Klay, you got Curry, obviously. Even Wiggins is out there shooting threes at 35, 38%. You got to keep up with these guys if you want to. Now, one thing I will say, though, Draymond and LeBron matchup, that's going to be interesting, because, you know, Draymond loves playing LeBron on defense.
That's going to be Wiggins. Draymond has to guard AD.
This time it's going
to
be Wiggins?
Draymond have to guard AD.
Yeah.
It has to be Wiggins.
Think
about it. That's what they did last year. Wiggins guard the best defender. Draymond guards the second best. That's exactly why Andrew Wiggins was guarding Jason Tatum while Draymond Green was guarding Jaylen Brown.
I mean, you got a point for sure, especially like once, like it'll be interesting once Vanderbilt's in there, because Vanderbilt too is going to be taking up Draymond space too. So he's going to be in his space. But I do expect the center to be like Kevon Looney versus AD. You know, I do expect that to be the matchup.
So AD is going to guard Kevon Looney because he's going to want to stay in the paint, and Draymond has a better chance of pulling AD out the paint because Draymond stays at the top of the keys, passing, setting screens, DHOs.
That's why I don't think AD's going to do that. Like, I don't think AD's
AD's going to guard Kevon Looney, but Draymond is going to guard Anthony Davis while Wiggins will be guarding LeBron. And at that point, Rui Hachimura will guard Looney.
Looney. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. I could definitely see Looney still keeping up on AD down low, especially if AD tries to get some post moves. But I will say, I think that AD is going to be successful down in that post.
Well, yeah. I would say, like, if Kevon Looney, or basically Kevon Looney guards AD, if they go down the court and they don't have time to switch, or if AD gets a rebound and already he's down there. But his primary defensive guard will be Draymond Green. That's literally what Draymond gets paid for.
True, but I'm sure we're still gonna see some Draymond versus LeBron action, and that's what I really
want.
I want to see that action because that's gonna remind you of that
primary.
Old school.
That's gonna be Andrew Wiggins' job, and can he do it?
That's a good point though. The primary for sure, but I still want to see some of that Draymond action because that's what we missed from those finals. We missed Draymond versus LeBron. Obviously,
Draymond ain't that same defensive player anymore either. I would say he's still a great defensive player, but even now he might want to worry about AD. He got to work. That's what I say. Let Wiggins handle LeBron because you got your work cut out for AD.
I don't know, man. I'll be honest. AD seems like a better player right now than, dare I say it, LeBron in the playoffs. I'll be honest. AD's been playing better than LeBron.
But that's the whole purpose. Like, well,
I know, but that's what I mean. So
LeBron is still leading that team in scoring, while AD had 2 31-point games.
Barely.
LeBron consistently averaged 2 more points in the whole series because that's the whole point. LeBron was never the top scorer, but he was always the second because that's not his job anymore.
I know, but
he's too old.
That's what I mean. So he's gonna be
this is AD's. This like AD's time to shine. He's the one that's going to be the one giving the more opportunity to go off every game.
And that's what I mean. You're giving Draymond a tougher job to guard a tougher defender than LeBron. You're giving him a tougher job than it would be to defend LeBron.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you got to get that on Looney. If Looney's been balling out like this on guys like. I'm sorry, but you didn't have Jaren Jackson in there. Yes, it would have been interesting to see Jaren Jackson. What would have been with him if he was in that series? Because that would have been totally different seeing him against AD. I would have liked to see that because I do think that the body styles match up similar to Kevon Looney and Jaren Jackson.
Yes, but no coach is going to choose Looney over Draymond to guard anyone. You have two of the best defensive players in the league in Wiggins and Draymond. So Draymond's going to guard AD. Wiggins going to guard LeBron. Looney will get his chance to guard AD. Draymond will also get his chance to guard LeBron. But I promise you, as soon as that game starts, you're going to see Draymond getting post up because he's the one that's going to have to guard AD. You saying that. AD's a way better person or scorer right now or a taller task is exactly why they're going to put Draymond on him. Draymond is the best defender on that team. If AD wasn't in the picture and let's say it was LeBron James and Andrew or LeBron James and JaVale McGee, yes, Kevon Looney's guarding JaVale McGee and Draymond is guarding LeBron. But the second AD's
You want the Warriors to put their best defender on AD.
The Lakers' best scorer. Yeah, and that's not what me wanting. That's just
that's what they should do.
That's what they will do.
Or what they will do. Yeah.
That's 100% what they will do.
And you know what? You might be right about that. Now that I'm thinking about it, because
obviously, said, no one's scared of Looney.
And AD doesn't really like backing down as much. So you might be right. Draymond is going to be kind of covering him up front as well, when they're passing it out around the three-point line, even mid-range. So you might be right about that. Actually, I'll concede to that for sure. And that's going to be huge for them because seeing the amount of points that AD is going to be able to get on Draymond, because you said, Draymond is not that same defender. That is going to be interesting too. It definitely is. I don't know. I expect LeBron to play a lot better in this series. He played pretty bad in that first series.
So I don't think he played bad. Shooting, yes, his shooting was bad.
That's what I mean, not defensively, he played good.
That's the same, everything else was great. His shooting was bad, but he still, like you said, shot almost 50% altogether, even though his 3-point was under 20. Like, yeah, his 3-point was trash, but he still ended the series with 22 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, a block, and a steal.
Yeah, but like, when have you heard LeBron averaging 22 points is a good thing? Like, that, even that, like his rookie
that's,
year,
that's, I mean, that's your never. Problem though. He is 38 years old, and yes, you're mad that he had 22 points. Any but other
to win
person,
this series, he needs to score more. That's what I mean. To win this series, a team
not
like
necessarily
the number one or sorry number two scoring team in the league, he needs to score more.
Not necessarily. They just have to play better defense, and I would say he needs to shoot better, not score more. Because I'll be honest, the LeBron James
is enough. I think like 25, 26. He needs. To be honest,
bro, that's me. But that's wild because like anyone
Austin Reeves
else...
took over last series and he took over most of the points. I think if one, I mean, yeah, if same thing happens and Austin Reeves takes over again, then yes. But what if a guy like Austin Reeves doesn't? You're gonna need a guy like LeBron. The top guys are gonna need to score in this series.
But that's the thing. If he averages what one or two more made threes, that's 22 to 25 to 26. That's every other basically leading scorer. Like, he doesn't need, I don't think, that's the whole point. Like, he is 38 years old. Like, it's crazy that people are so, like, 20. The only fault you can say about the first round is his shooting. But everything else, he was prolific. Anyone else have a first round like
some
that?
Some of the best defense.
They had a great round. But it's crazy that some people could be like, and it's not even you personally.
But no,
just,
I'm not even faulting him for winning in that way. I'm saying to win this series, he's got to score more.
To me, I think he could do it. If him and both AD average over 20, that's a point. Name any other squad that got two people averaging over 20. They don't. Most other squads, like let's say you got, so obviously
I mean the Warriors,
you got the Celtics.
The Celtics for sure,
Clay,
over 25.
Clay just got.
He's just like, over Clay's 20.
Barely.
That's it.
Nikola, that's about it.
No, actually, you know what? The Kings. I mean, Kings were 20 and
well,
the bonus
have
just
have
over
no
20.
Role. Everyone kind of, like the Kings is more of a team, like a team where they no real superstar. They too many young guys. But that's what I'm saying, like, Devin Booker and KD.
Yeah, but that's once KD came in. I get you. And then obviously Luka and Kyrie, they couldn't really do nothing with it. So I get it. It needs to be spread around more. But I think that do you really expect like the Lakers to win this series if LeBron averages 22? The rest of this series against the Warriors.
No, but I don't expect him to average 22. That's what I'm saying.
Me neither. That's what I mean. I don't either.
Shooting 19% from the three. I don't expect him to shoot that bad.
I agree.
For me, that 22 already turns to 26 just by shooting better.
I mean, that's my point, though. He's got to make more points.
Yeah, he's got
to win the series, though. Like, literally, he's got to shoot more and make more points.
So, to me, it's not shoot more. It's just be more efficient.
No, make more points. Yeah.
It's just be more efficient. And
yeah.
I don't know what it was, but I honestly felt like he was just trying to show off a lot. Like, there's so many game-ending runs in the fourth quarter in this Grizzly series where he took – threes to that to me made no sense. It's just because he always kept thinking one of them's gonna hit and be that
a lot
three.
Of 40-40ers like
bro, like yes, that's what I'm saying. So like I really think he was taking a lot of stupid shots, like, and I don't even say on purpose, but like LeBron
now, he
was
trying to
like,
make the crowd like be in
yeah,
his
he was
favor
trying to mentally
yeah.
like yeah
momentum
so
or something.
He can't do that. He knows he can't do that against the Lakers. I mean the Lakers against the Warriors. So that's what I'm saying. I don't think he takes shots like that. I think you're right. I do think we do see a better LeBron this series, but I do think he gives us at least 25 for sure.
I think we need to, and I think this is the way that the Lakers win. I think if he gets 25 and you get AD getting 25 the rest of this series, this is where I don't have this as a 7-game series. Now, the Warriors have one problem this whole year. What is that problem? They play terrible on the road. They do. They're one of the worst teams in the road in the NBA. In the NBA, mm-hmm. like the only worst teams, the number Houston Rockets, and you got the Detroit Pistons that are just as bad. And I think the Portland Trailblazers as well. I think they're just right there at 10 and 33 as well on the road, which is crazy, crazy. Or 10 and 32 actually on the road. But it's a crazy, crazy number. I think that the one thing that the Lakers will do good, they do play good on the road, and they can steal one in Golden State. This is going to be home in Golden State the first two games. I do expect the Lakers to steal one in Golden State. And then, I'll be honest, I got this being a 3-1 series after game four with the Lakers' favor. Now, what happens after that? I think LeBron and AD are just going to take over the series. The inside game is going to take over. I don't think that Kevon Looney is going to be able to stop guys and going to be able to get those offensive rebounds like he was able to. So I got this as a 6-game series and the Lakers winning game five and game six. Because I got a 3-1 series, and then I got them winning game six. Yes, that's what I do.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I got a lot more competitive. I do think that I think that both teams, like, they're going to try to go for their strengths. So Warriors are going to be a problem to deal with that shooting. I do have it in seven. I do have it Lakers in seven. Part of me, though, do believe it's a biased choice.
Well, why you say that?
I don't know. I love both teams, but
it's not biased, then, if you like them both.
Well, here's the thing. When it comes so even like this, and this has been one of the most hardest choices for me,
I agree.
I have to go with who I want to win. And I literally can't actually pick based off of stats alone. I have to pick off who I want to win, and I want the Lakers to win.
Wow. That's crazy, because the way that I picked, I literally did the opposite. Because who I want to win is the Warriors. But I kind of went off logic and just what I've seen from the All-Star game.
My logic finds me dead center. My logic puts me dead center.
It's logical what you said, too. Like, everything is logical about that pick. It's not like it's not. But I'm like, my heart says,
I'm taking LeBron over Curry every time.
That's what my heart says. Take Curry in a game seven. Take Curry in a game seven. Not that you've seen him ball out, but my head is just saying, like, yo, the Lakers have been the best team, pretty much second best team in the league since the All-Star break. And they've been balling out with all their role players. Vanderbilt's going to ball out in this game. Obviously, you got guys like Russell, who's going to be balling out, and Austin Reeves balling the fuck out. So I got Lakers in six. I think they're going to do it quick, man. I think this is going to be a rough one for the Warriors.
Well, we'll see tonight. They get their first chance. So we'll see how it goes.
Let's see it. And then why don't we go over to the last series in the East? I mean, this is a series that nobody really thought was going to happen. I'll be honest. Like, nobody thought.
No, that's the number five beating the number four and the number eight beating the number one. And the number eight and the number five aren't all playing each other for a chance for the Eastern Conference Finals. Nobody thought that.
Insane. And the Knicks have not made the Eastern Conference Finals since 1998. So this is their shot. And since Patrick Ewing, obviously, when he was on their squad back in the day. So what do you think about this one? Who you got? This one, it kind of a tough one because, you know, both of these teams are not great at one thing. But who you got for this one?
I mean, this one is probably going to be determined about what they don't have. And that's Julius Randle and Jimmy Butler. And Tyler Hero. And God knows what other injuries are going to come through. Right now, the Knicks came out, thought they had the game won. But Timothy Butler decided that that's not going to happen.
He's him.
And he definitely showed up a little bit and then rolled his ankle. So while the Heat took game one, no way he plays game two. They're not trying to come out and say that. I don't know if they actually fully reported it yet, but those reports are also saying the shit is the size of a golf ball, or a tennis ball. So I doubt the team allows him to play no matter what. Knowing him, he probably want to play. But I definitely don't see him coming back game two. We'll have to reevaluate, at the end of this week to see how he's looking for next week. With that being said, this was not hard as in that hard. But at the end of the day, Knicks are probably a better row on the team with the absence of Tyler Hero. But goddamn, you cannot count Jimmy out. Watching that 52-point game against the Bucks really just, like, lets you know when the ball's in his hands and when there's a shot in the dark. Jimmy Butler will find you a way.
Playoff Jimmy's the thing.
That's why it's hard to choose from. Because without Jimmy Butler, you choose the Knicks over the Heat. And that's what you have to do until we know when Jimmy's coming back. So as of right now, Josh Hart playing great energy, playing outstanding, backing up Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson's just showing that he was worth that contract, showing that these motherfuckers in Dallas were stupid for letting him go. Yeah. And now he's pretty much averaging 24, 5, and 2 steals in the first round and had a great hell of a series. Obi Toppin stepped up in the absence of Randle. And like you said earlier, him and Mitchell Robinson was just going off in the first round, making their presence known, being physical in the paint. So definitely want to see if that Knicks team can continue to contribute everyone. And obviously just give Jalen Brown some help. We know he's going to show up. Let's see if Barrett can continue to show up. Let's see if Hart can continue to show up. And let's see if Robinson can continue to show up, because he's averaging 10 boards and 2 blocks. So he's actually having a decent first round as well.
He's a great blocker, by the way, Mitchell Robinson.
He is. Even... He just never had the size, like as in strength and body-wise size.
He was never strong like Dwight Howard was, but he was tall and lengthy, kind of like Bol Bol or kind of like, you know, guys like that, or Mo Bamba, somebody like that. He was definitely tall and lengthy.
So, yeah, so he's definitely doing his thing. And right now, unfortunately, Caleb Martin and Kevin Love is not enough. Kyle Lowry's definitely showing he's feisty. Like you said, Kevin Love in that first game, really, I'll be honest, if it weren't for a majority of those outlet passes, that wouldn't have been the same type of game. Transition defense is one of the Knicks' specialty, and basically the Heat already have a game plan to make sure they can get by that and use that against them. So definitely great coach team, but without their superstar and without their second best player, scoring wise, because Bam, like, you can't build a team or win a game with just Bam. I'll tell you that much. Good point. So without Hero and without Butler, I don't know how much we can expect from this Heat team. It was probably going to be a fun series before Butler got injured, just knowing what he could bring to the table. And obviously, we can't expect him to be out the whole series, I don't think. But you give a team like the Knicks a chance to catch up and take the lead in a 7-game series, it's going to be hard for the Heat to come back.
That's true. That's very true. Plus, the Heat did steal a game at home, game one, against the Knicks. And that was a game at home that the Knicks lost, which you would think, you know, obviously, without Tyler Hero, you would think that the Knicks should have won that game. One thing I will say in this series, you're going to need RJ Barrett to step up for the Knicks if you want, like, anybody to step up. That's got to be the guy. Like, Josh Hart has been balling out since he's been on the Knicks. I'll give him that. He's literally been the perfect trade player that you need. Like, a guy that comes in and gets you over 10, 15 points, you know, for the rest of the season average, and can make threes and still be a great defender. You know, he still defends very well that shooting guard position. I do think that, you know, that's going to be the key right there, because the shooting guards, obviously, you're going to have Gabe Vincent out there, and you're going to have Max Struss is going to be like another guy that's going to be out there for Miami. But you know who's Miami's been putting out there lately? Duncan Robinson.
Like, they have where no did choice. He
come from, bro? I know they don't. Like, literally, they everyone's need out there. I know. Everyone's been out. All their forwards are out. You know, they need the points for sure. But it's crazy. Like, Duncan Robinson's been playing good. He's been shooting threes. We all know about his defense and how terrible it is. One of the worst in the league. But he's actually been balling out, shooting a lot of threes. Even in the first round, he was able to shoot threes and win some games for him. Now, I do think that this series is going to come down to defense. Miami plays very good defense. And the New York Knicks are going to need to shoot the ball better from three. That's the one thing they struggle with. You know, you got Jalen Brunson, who likes to go inside. Obviously, you got Randle, who sometimes will shoot a three or two, but you can't expect him to do that. You know, and who are you really going to ask, like, the Knicks to shoot? Like, Hart, yes. RJ Barrett, yes. But other than that, Toppin, sometimes. Like, they really don't have many guys that can consistently make threes. All the guys like going inside. Isaiah Quickly likes going inside. You know, obviously, guys like Fournier and Randle, they're all, like, inside type players. So I will like to see them shoot more threes, and if they make more threes, then they're going to be very successful. Now, without Miami having everyone on their squad, you kind of think that they're going to lose it, but I'm going to be the contrarian and say I don't. I think that even without Jimmy Butler, Miami is going to take care of the New York Knicks. Miami just has better role players. Not only that, they're a way better coach team. I think this is going to be an easy series for Miami. Like, people thought I was going to go the other way, but no. This is not going to be an easy series for the Knicks. The Knicks are not going to come back in this series once they go down. They lost the game at home already. I think Eric Spoelstra, I've already said this, one of the best coaches in the NBA, in NBA history. He knows how to have teams that lose, or sorry, teams that don't have a star player and that are like losing in the regular season, and he knows how to bring them up in the playoffs. One thing about Eric Spoelstra is he plays all his guys and he plays his rotations at perfect placements. That's one thing he's going to do against the Knicks. I expect this to be a six-game series as well, and I think the Heat are going to beat the Knicks in six. Whenever Jimmy comes back, obviously he's going to be the caveat to it, but I just think the role players that Miami has are going to be playing way better than the role players that than the Knicks have, and that's going to be the key difference, and that's what's going to win it for Miami, though. Who you got for this series, though? I want to know what you think.
Honestly, as crazy as it sounds, like, I really do agree with you. Wow. And before Jimmy went down, I had the Heat winning this easily. Even with them taking game one, without Jimmy, that's a whole different team.
True.
I don't totally trust different. Them. I don't trust them yet. So without knowing when Jimmy returns, I don't see them winning this series without Jimmy. And like I said, if Jimmy takes too long, but at the end of the day, like, how, what do they risk him coming back? Because you got to save Jimmy for the next round if you do win. You got to make sure he don't come back and fuck up his ankle to then face the Celtics or the 76ers.
Yeah, but be honest with me, though. Do we expect them to even, once they get past this, or if they get past this round, could they beat a team like the 76ers or Celtics?
No. But
I don't expect
they think
either.
They can.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And that's what I'm saying. So, like, how much do they limit his return? If it's, how bad is it? Actually, let me just look this shit up. I just want to know.
I mean, it is a rolled ankle. Just like you said, it's a sprained ankle. It's a grade one sprained ankle. Supposedly, it takes you out 2 to 3 days. That is pretty much 1 to 2 games. Like I said, the second round, they're doing one game, one day off, one day on. So they're talking bringing him possibly back third game, if not third game, then for sure fourth game. So that's what most of the
Yeah, because his dumbass played through it in the first game.
Yeah, I mean, he was injured like the third quarter, and then he
that's
kept
that's what
going.
I'm saying. Yeah, he
but
kept
he was balling
so
out
though. Him,
so
he wants to come back, and knowing them, they want to keep him out. They don't want to let their star player get injured in a fucking series against the Knicks.
So what you think? He comes back fourth game? Not even third?
Nah, I think he's gonna come back third. So that's in Miami.
Yeah, they're going back to Miami after game three. Game three, game four.
Oh, I can't decide.
The Knicks gonna be partying down there. They gotta go to South Beach, go to the SLS hotel real quick, and then they gotta go wake up and probably play a game on Sunday, game three. That's gonna be a tough one. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Knicks in seven.
Damn.
That also might be my bias on hating the Heat. But I think it's a little bit worse than they want it to seem. This poster was like, I know where his heart is. I know what he wants to do. This was not just a decision between Jimmy and I. We're probably the worst people to rely on to make that kind of decision.
Oh, obviously they both want him to be on the court. Staff.
They want him to be on the court. Yeah, right.
So they actually want him to be on quicker than you're saying. You're saying that they want to keep him off, but they actually want to put him on.
They want
it's
him
the medical
on
staff.
That it's going to determine. Back.
So I'll be honest. I got them coming back game three, and after game three, I could see them only losing one.
So
game
I got
after
him
game
coming
three.
Back game three, but I got them losing. And at that game point, three in Miami. I got it 2-1. Knicks. And then I got Miami winning game four. And now we're in the back in the three-game series. Jimmy's three not 100%. And Jimmy's not 100% at this point. He's starting to exhaust himself. It's going to be reminiscent of him dragging himself to a game seven last year against the Celtics just to come short in one shot.
Man, that's great. I just think playoff Jimmy's the thing this year. I think playoff Jimmy is back. And I do expect playoff him to have one more.
Playoff Jimmy got regular season ankles, so.
He do, but I think he's going to come back from one of these games to just shoot the lights out. I expect Miami to win game five and six, actually. And
but I'll take them winning so they could face us in the next round. I wouldn't mind knocking the Heat off once again.
So who are you picking then, Miami or Knicks?
I'm going to go with Knicks in seven.
All right. I'm still taking Heat in six. I think there's going to be a quick series that's going to be – a lot of people are going to have Miami as underdog, but don't count them out. So real quick, though, before we finish it off, let's give the people who we had again. This series, I had Miami in six. You had?
Oh, it's Knicks in seven.
And then in the Lakers versus the Warriors series, I had the Lakers in six. You had?
Lakers in seven.
Nice. And then we go off to the other one in the West, Denver versus Phoenix. Who you had in this one? Who you got?
We both had Nuggets in six.
Yep, both had Nuggets in six. And then the final series going over in the East, the Philadelphia 76ers against Melo's Lake or Celtics. Sorry, ooh, almost said Lake. Excuse me.
Wow.
Melo Celtics versus the 76ers. Let me bring that back.
Wow.
Man, they're like the two best franchises in the NBA. You get them confused sometimes. They got almost same amount of. Nah,
we're tied, but we're still better. And I think we both had Celtics in seven.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
Yep. All Celtics in seven in that one. And that's going to be a great, great series. I think all these second round matchups are going to be pretty good to watch, though. A lot of star power. Obviously, a lot of great names, a lot of great cities and in the NBA, some historic franchises, and definitely going to be a sight to watch.
100%. Second round is going to be hectic. And honestly, granted, the Heat versus Knicks probably isn't the best series we thought we were going to see. But whatever conference final series we get is about to be hectic. More than likely, people want to see Heat versus Sixers or Celtics because of Jimmy Butler over the Knicks. But either way, it will still be a great series. And obviously in the West, Suns, Nuggets, Warriors, Lakers. That's just high-quality basketball.
Can't go wrong with either one.
Literally. So whichever two we get in the conference final, that is going to be a hell of a series. So definitely looking forward to this one. Like I said, I'm highly invested in the Celtics versus 76ers, which to me is the Eastern Conference Finals. So
yeah, man.
Hoping that we get through this one.
It seems like almost the finals matchup. That one and in the West, the Lakers versus Warriors. Mm-hmm. Those seem like final matchups. They really do. They really do.
Yes, they do.
But make sure that you guys comment below. Tell us who you think is going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals, and who your finals matchup is going to be too. We'd love to know what you guys think. Also, make sure you guys like and subscribe to the page. Turn on the post notifications on so then you guys can know whenever we put up a new video. We have videos up every single day, if it's a short or if it's just different type of segments that we have from the show. So make sure you guys have those on so you can check all of our videos out. But if you want to go to one place to check everything out, Milo, why don't you tell them about that?
You already know, www.whoyougotpodcast.com. You have access to the blogs. You have access to the podcast. You have access to our videos. And you have access to our merch. You have access to our Patreon. Pretty much, if you can't remember where to find anything or don't want to go to our personal pages, go to www.whoyougotpodcast.com.
Exactly. And of course, if you guys want to check out some of the podcasts that we don't have up on YouTube or up on Google, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, go over to Patreon. That's the place where we got some podcasts that are just exclusive for those Patreon guests and the people that give us general support there. You guys could also check out some of the merch that we have there. You get it in the 3, 6, and 9 month periods, but definitely check those out. Some really cool stuff there as well. Thank you guys again for checking out this episode. We're going to be back for some more stuff. We got a lot of sports coming up, and we definitely going to keep talking NBA. We're going to come back for the Western Eastern Conference Finals and, of course, the Finals, because we always love talking basketball, right?
Mm-hmm. You already know, got a lot of good basketball coming up. Playoffs is right in the nick of it. A couple UFC, a couple boxings. We definitely got a lot of things coming up, and we'll make sure we're going to keep giving you that quality sports content.
That's right. That's right. So make sure you guys stick around with us and check us out next time on Who You Got With
Mello
and Rado. Peace.
Peace.